Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of Young Hollywood Actors and The Hollywood Parents Guide. And today, my guest on the Hometown to Hollywood podcast is Los Angeles entertainment attorney Tony Long. Tony is the managing partner and founder of the Long Law Group, which specializes in corporate and entertainment transactional work. She's a graduate of Stanford and the UCLA School of Law. Tony was recognized as a Southern California rising star by Super Lawyers in LA Magazine and recognized as a top attorney for corporate law by Pasadena Magazine each year since 2012. Tony, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming over. Now, how long have you been practicing entertainment law?
The short answer is definitely for the last like 12 or so years in some capacity. The long answer is probably even before law school, because when you are in Los Angeles and you have people in your family or friends who are in the industry, and the minute they know you're in law school, they want you to start looking at their contracts. And I'm like, okay, you got to wait till I at least, you know, finish law school and pass the bar. So I started at a couple of larger firms, starting in litigation and then moving over to corporate transactional. And then once I made the switch over to corporate transactional, to the extent that we had clients who were working in the entertainment industry, I tried to get in on those deals and learn as much as I could. So the vast majority of what I know is self-taught. I worked at a film distribution company before hanging out my own shingle. Very small niche company, but I learned a lot about the industry and a lot about, you know, serving small corporate clients as well. So that's a very interesting intersection of my practices, not only the entertainment, but also the corporate part, because a lot of my clients are equipment rental companies, smaller production companies, independent producers, commercial production companies. And they, while their core business is related to the entertainment industry, they also have the same needs that my other corporate clients have in terms of vendor agreements and best practices and so on and so forth.
That is cool. I mean, it's such a wide world out there, and these niches, you know, become so necessary because of the depth of specialization and understanding you really need to have in law. What made you decide to go in this direction?
You know, I jokingly say that I'm taking the longest route possible to become a film producer. I wanted to be a film producer since I was a kid. And when it came time after getting my undergraduate degree to decide what I wanted to do for graduate school, I knew I would be going to graduate school. It was a matter of, okay, do I go to film school where I would pay the same to go to law school, cost the same to go to law school at that time, and not be guaranteed a job or even have who knows what my prospects would be, or do I take the safe bet, because I also wanted to be a lawyer, and go to law school. So being the typical Libra that I am, I took the very safe bet and decided, after weighing, didn't take me long to weigh it, but, you know, we get maligned as we can't make a decision. But I weighed the pros and cons and decided to go to law school because I figured I can always make a film without a degree. I'm not going to be able to practice law without a degree, certainly not effectively. And so that started my interest in entertainment law. I had a summer position 1 year working at Universal Music Group, where I really got to see a lot of artist contracts going back to like the 30s and 40s. And that kind of impacted how I wanted to practice and who I wanted to serve, because you saw a lot of people who did not have legal representation signing contracts that, if ideally they'd had some sort of legal representation, they would have had someone advocate for them in a better manner. You know, and it informs things like, you know, what happened with TLC and the rights they signed away and how much they were not getting versus everyone else. And those are the types of situations I saw. You know, I thought, okay, I'm going to put myself out there and appeal to a certain segment of the industry so that can be avoided.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of an ounce of prevention sort of thing. Like, you know, you can pay me a couple grand to do something for you, or you can do it yourself and lose tens of thousands, possibly millions of dollars in the process. And not just me, any other entertainment lawyer. I don't necessarily tell people, hey, you have to come to me. I advocate that you find a good representative for yourself, who can work with you, who you work with, who you get along with. It's a very personal relationship, and so you should not feel uncomfortable vetting your attorney. If an attorney has a problem answering your questions, that's not the attorney you want to work with. If they're that arrogant or whatever the case may be, then I would just say keep moving.
Yeah, I love that. That's such good advice. And honestly, what you said just before that, it is heartbreaking, the history of so many artists of different stripes, but mm-hmm. actors and musicians especially, mm-hmm. who, changed our culture, had massive impact on our culture, on our lives. And when you see what they ended up getting compensated ultimately for that, it's like, how did that happen? It's so terrible. So I love that. When do you think is the right time for an actor to reach out for legal representation?
You know, we have a very close family friend whose mom just reached out to me with the first agreement for an agent for her son, for our godson. And because even that agreement can be negotiated and should be negotiated. So I would say the very short answer to that is the minute someone wants you to put pen to paper, have somebody read that piece of paper. Yes. Yes. If you speak English, you can read any legal contract. I can read Grey's Anatomy, not the show, the actual medical treatise. I can read that. You, however, are not going to want me to perform surgery on you as a result of my reading of that. So
nice
it's the
analogy.
Same thing with, legal contracts. You're going to be ill served by thinking, oh, I can read this, so I'll be fine to negotiate my own contracts. No, there are things that I will see that will likely escape you.
Yeah. Well, and while most agency contracts, at least in the LA area, are, SAG-AFTRA, the fairly boilerplate, there is stuff to take a look at. And then management contracts are like the Wild West.
The management
literally
contracts.
Literally the Wild West.
Without a doubt, you should never sign a management contract without having an attorney review it. I cannot tell you how many people have had to get out of management contracts. Definitely have someone review those, because managers are not regulated by the state. Agents are. You're absolutely correct that a lot of the portions of those contracts are very standard, very what we call boilerplate. But another set of eyes are always in your best interest to have that. And even just when you are an actor putting together your team, there are those three core positions that you should have filled with people you know, people you trust, who are looking out for your best interest and not solely their bottom line. It's your manager, your agent, your attorney, in whatever order that is for you. Some mm-hmm. people come to me first, mm-hmm. and then I help them find an agent or a manager, or sometimes a manager comes to me, and then we, work together in that regard. But yeah, gotta have that. It would be like deciding to go play a football game and not having a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna go far.
No, you're not gonna go far. You may be on the field, but that's you want to do better than that.
Mm-hmm.
So what can an entertainment lawyer do for an actor exactly, other than like read contracts and review them and, help them be better?
I mean, that's not an insignificant portion of what we do. That really is, key.
It's massive, actually, because it's like, okay, first of all, you've got the agent-manager contracts, but then after that, any sort of project you're taking on, a series or a decent-sized movie, how that gets negotiated can make a massive difference to your financial well-being and your future, and not mm-hmm. just your finances, right?
Like, no, not just your finances. I mean, you think about actor agreements, you think about certain, exclusivity provisions. When do I need to show up for the next season, things like that. And those are certain things that your agent should be apprised of. But then there are other things that'll be in that contract, in the quote unquote boilerplate, that you'll want your lawyer to look at. And people give very short shrift to the quote unquote boilerplate. Like, oh, this is the part of the contract we can throw away. Well, that's like throwing away your rule book.
Mm.
I liken it to having a sandwich. Whether you're vegan, vegetarian, or whatever, you've got a sandwich with some bread, some meat or meat substitute. The boilerplate provisions your bread. You need something to hold that sandwich together, and that's what it does. It provides the structure for everything else. And so we pour through that boilerplate and make sure your rights are protected. They're the rules of engagement. You want to make sure that they are in your favor as much as they possibly can be. And then there are other provisions throughout the contract after the agent is done negotiating your deal points that we will look at and make sure your rights are protected.
Hi. With the entertainment industry changing every day, I'm continuing to work to be a source of inspiration and information in your life. As it's been for 5 seasons and over 120 episodes, the Hometown to Hollywood podcast will be there for you. Now, I'm asking you to be there for us. The podcast has been a labor of love for years, and now I'm asking if Hometown to Hollywood's been a friend to you, if it's helped, educated, and inspired you, please become a supporter of the podcast. For only $5 a month, the price of a latte, you can become a friend of the podcast and help me afford to continue to do the work that you've come to depend on for honest, insightful interviews that shed light on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. If you can afford it, pitch in $10 a month and become a good friend of the podcast. Your support helps supplement the people who can only give $5 a month. Join now. Just go to hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. That's hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. And in just 2 clicks, you can have access to the complete version of this incredibly informative conversation, as well as each upcoming episode and the entire collection of over 120 past episodes. If you can't afford $5 a month to subscribe, the first 10 minutes of every episode will still be available for free. Subscribers get the full episodes delivered right to their inbox. Thank you. I appreciate your support, and I can't wait to share the exciting upcoming conversations with you. Meanwhile, if you could use some one-on-one coaching, invest in a video consultation session with me. Just go to hometowntohollywood.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.